Good evening. Sure is good to be here tonight. It's wonderful that you're here to hear me. It'd be kind of strange preaching to an empty building. Even though it's not the majority of the congregation, it's the well, I was going to say the faithful. Creme de la creme. But I'm very thankful that you're here. And I'm just happy to be here. This morning, I sit behind the baker, so I get to see all the things happening in front of me. And as Mark was up here on the Lord's table, Sam scooted way over so he could see his father. And he sat there waving, and Mark just ignored him. I thought Mark should at least acknowledge this young man. Okay. Well, it's kind of hard to tell with Mark sometimes, isn't it? but Sam made me proud. He loves and respects his father, and he wants father to know that he's looking at him and listening to him. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It kind of reminded me of a time Stefan was younger than Sam. I'm not sure. He might have been about 3 or 2. He was old enough to walk because he got away from Marion as I was walking up to lead the Lord's Supper, and well, I let him stand right next to me as I brought the devotional talk. And that's good for the children. We need to remember the children are innocent. The children only want to be by their parents, and they need to enjoy the service of the Lord. They need to know they're welcomed. And yes, I know as we get older, our nerves get a little shakier. And kids can be loud, but God loves them. And they need to learn to love God. And they're only going to do that if we respect the children and love them right back, even when they're loud. Children are a gift of God. How to get an answer to prayer. We've been talking about prayer Sunday night. And I'm going to continue that because I feel prayer is probably the most important tool that God has given us. More than a tool, it is a privilege to be able to go before God Almighty and call Him Father. How many other religions have that right to call their God Father? Not that I think there are other religions. There are no other gods but our God. But what does it take to get an answer to prayer? Good question, huh, JC? Some people have a very simplistic view of prayer. They make demands, God answers. Some of the most demanding people, though, are those who rarely submit to God. Have you ever noticed that? A crisis or danger will drive them down on their knees. But once that crisis passed, they have no need of God anymore. And it's amazing. If they don't get what they asked for, either God is at fault or there is no God. That's their attitude. If I don't get my demands, then God doesn't care, God doesn't love, or there isn't a God. I never think that maybe the fault lays within them. And the request of some people's prayers. Selfish, evil. I can't remember. I just remember this incident, and I cannot remember what televangelist it was. But his pet dog died. And he dared go before the Father and ask that God resurrect his dog. You wonder sometimes, don't we, about people. But misunderstandings also exist among us, I believe. I know people that are very particular about prayer. And I've heard Christians correct other Christians. You didn't say Father at the beginning of your prayer. It didn't count. I've heard you didn't say in Jesus' name, so God didn't hear your prayer. I was too young and timid at the time, but I wish I would have asked them, where in the Bible does God command us to pray in the Father's name, and if we don't, God won't hear us? Or do we think this is a magic formula? Jerry's going to look to find it. or that if we don't say in Jesus' name, you know, there was a group of people who thought they could cast out demons if they said in Jesus' name. Were they able to cast out that demon? The demon said, hey, we know Paul. We know the apostles. Who are you? These words are not a magic formula. These are not ways that we can control God. God cannot be controlled in this way. But yet, many within the church have sort of this thinking, don't they? This is a formula. We have to say the Father's name at the beginning and in Jesus' name at the end. But you know, you got... I've got a verse here. But does it command us? Go ahead. Sovereign Lord. And I'm sure there are many ways to pray. Sometimes the prayer might simply be, Lord, help me. We need to realize words, much or little, is not what is important in prayer. It's what's inside of us. Our need for the Father. Because it is not always possible to follow some kind of formula. Some people in our world only know the Lord's Prayer. And that's all they can say. I remember my mom taught me a prayer as a child, and I don't remember the whole prayer now. Does anyone know how that children's prayer goes? Now I lay me down to sleep. I knew a man that was the only prayer he knew. And in his time of need, that was the prayer he said. But I still think God listened and knew this man's needs. Does Jerry have a statement? He's what? Go ahead. Yeah. True. That verse is coming, but thank you. God's hearing and answering our prayers does not depend upon words or formulas because of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us with our weakness. See, once again, the admitting that we are weak and need God's help is a key for God to hear and answer our prayers. But let me, back to my sentence. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us. Even begs God for us with deep feelings and words that words cannot explain. God can see what is in people's hearts, and He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit speaks to God for His people in the way God wants. There are things that we just don't know how to express. Sometimes I don't know how to tell my wife just how much I love her and thankful that she's there. I'm terrible sometimes. My wife told me I'm not very romantic, and that's probably true. But I do hug her a lot, or I try to. That's the way the Spirit is. You see, the Spirit lives within us. He knows God, and because He's in us, He can talk, and He knows our spirit. And He knows what we're thinking, and He thankfully can take my stupid little words that I say and make them meaningful to God. So that God He. I like that. But the Spirit speaks to God for His people. Here's the important part: in the way God wants. That if I can't do it, the Holy Spirit does it for me. The Spirit carries our needs to the Father, interceding where we cannot. Sometimes I start a prayer and in frustration, just say, God, please help. We may be assured of two facts. First, our Father can hear our prayers. We don't need to shout. You know, Jesus talked about going off to a place in secret to pray. You know, I still think on that one story that Jesus was telling about a man who went into the temple to pray, lifted his hands up, spoke loud enough to be heard by all, and all he could talk about was how good he was. Sometimes it is better to go off in secret, to fall down on our knees and beg God for forgiveness. Because it's the broken spirit that God will not destroy. His great power enables Him to hear all things. Second, He answers the prayer of all of His children. If you are a child of God and you go to Him in prayer, God will answer you. Maybe not always the way we want. He might say no. He might say later. He might say, that's not what you need, but I've got something better for you. God will answer your prayer. You may not have your eyes open for it and see it, but God answers the prayers of His children. Our Father, who knows more of our needs than we do, may feel that it is best for us not to receive what we ask. All of us were either children or parents at some time in our lives. Children, I think, if the parents would let them, would live on chocolate, candy, potato chips, snacks, and be happy with that diet. But would that diet be good for them? The kids might think, yay! Ice cream and chips for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. But parents will say, no. You've got to have these green beans and Brussels sprouts. He might say, you need a little bit of chicken or turkey or beef or pork. You need bread with filth, lots of fiber, not this. You know, our bread in America is there's nothing of value in it anymore. I don't know what we do to it, but you got to eat German bread. But even good bread is needed because we need fiber, something called fiber. We need it. Our body needs it. Now, I don't think there's much fiber in potato chips and ice cream and brownies. And I love these things. I'm not saying, but we would say no to that child. That child won't understand. But sometimes we're children. We go to the Father. We make our demands. And we want what we ask for. But sometimes God will say, it's not what you need. Let me give you what you need. We may not be always thankful for what we get, but we should, because it's exactly what we needed. His wisdom may dictate that our requests be delayed. I've mentioned this before. All through college and then through graduate school, and even as I was a young man working in Dallas, Texas, teaching and for the testing center in the community college, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for a wife. And I kept asking out girls and never worked out. And I gave up. I thought, I'm never going to find a wife. And then, strangely, I volunteered to do mission work in Germany. Went all the way to Germany and fell in love. And I literally chased and carried Marianne away. literally. There was a let's start talking party. And I'm the shy boy that would, all my life was afraid of girls. And I asked Marion if she wanted to go home, and she was saying, well, she didn't know, because I was offering to drive her home. And someone said, just take her. So I picked her up and started carrying her. I haven't forgotten that. but my whole thought is this. God delayed it until the right woman for me came along. Sometimes God delays our request to a later time. But God, that's still an answer, isn't it? Wait. 1 John 5:14. And this is the boldness we have in God's presence. That if we ask God for anything that agrees with what He wants, He hears us. Hope you heard that. We can go to God with boldness in our request. With the thought of what? What was that main thought, Matt? Yeah, that if we ask God for anything that agrees with what He wants, do we really think that God thinks we need a $2 million car? Do we think that we need a $2 or $3 million house? What about some of the stuff that we tend to buy and bring home? Do we ask God for that stuff? Do we really think that we need that? That God wants that for us? You know, there are some preachers and religions that preach exactly that. But that's not how God works. All requests that are within the will of God are going to be answered. Therefore, our concern should not be whether God will grant our request, but we need to ask ourselves, are our requests within the will of God? Let's ask JC. JC, what does God want? What does God want? What do you think God wants? He wants His children to be right with Him. And what about the lost? He wants them to find God. If we know this, shouldn't we be praying that these things be granted to us? You ever thought about that? I don't know how having a $2 million car helps us bring in the lost. Unless we're preaching, every Christian will get one. That might bring in a lot of people. We know those in missionary talk as rice Christians. Christians who became Christians to get rice, and when the rice stops, they stop being Christians. As we live according to His will, our prayers become more and more in tune with what God will grant. If we know what He wants and our life is living for those things, our prayers will change. Our selfishness will be at least held back, and we will begin to ask God for those things that we know will help us be better Christians and help bring about exactly what JC said, that we His children improve in our Christian lives, becoming more like Jesus Christ, and that we reach out to the lost. Often we don't understand what the will of God is for our life. With personal decisions or difficulties, we don't always know what God wants. Do you think it matters to God if you live in Plymouth or Zellwood? I mean, if I start praying, God, should I move to Zellwood? Would that be a better place for me to live? Then I have some trouble if we start asking that kind of thing. But now, if our thinking is, I know some families in Zellwood that just need a little bit of guidance. Father, do you think maybe let me go there and live that I can be close to those families to guide them? Now, I think that's more in tune with the will of God. A person can still pray boldly for many situations. As we saw in one of my sermons, Your Will Be Done, There are guidelines by which we can attempt to understand God's will for our personal decisions. Now, I'm not going to mention them. If you want to hear those, you need to either go back to the office and borrow that sermon from a CD, or if you got a computer, go online and listen to it. But we talked about guidelines that can help us find out what the will of God is for our life. After we have determined what seems best, we can then boldly go to God and ask God for things. We just need to remember that phrase that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Your will be done." And if we don't get what we want, not to blame God or turn on God. Because we need to remember that Satan is also active in this world. He is out to destroy our works and the works of God. We cannot assume that all events in our lives are the will of God. Yet the Christian has the promise that God's will can be found if we seek it. If our prayers are not answered according to our request, we should look at the answer that He did give. Sometimes we close our minds when we don't get what we wanted. We close our mind and say, "God didn't answer my prayer." Well, maybe He did answer it. We just weren't looking to see what the answer was. When that kind of a situation comes, stop a second and say, "What answer did God give me?" The promise is that He will answer prayer. Well, let's start looking what kind of answer He gave us instead of assuming He did not answer. We may not always be happy with His answer, but God does answer our prayers. Let us seek God's will in the circumstances in which we are. No words about prayer are more challenging than those of Jesus to His disciples found in Mark chapter 11, 22 through 25. Jesus answered, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'Go fall into the sea,' and if you have no doubts in your mind and believe that what you say will happen, God will do it for you. So I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you. When you are praying, if you are angry with someone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins." The only limitation that Jesus placed on our prayers is what? The degree of faith. How much faith do you have that God hears and answers your prayer? And He does not qualify all things by saying all spiritual things, did He? He said all things. A Christian can fully ask God to move a mountain into a sea if he is convinced that God wants that mountain in that sea. And you think there might be a time that it'd be good to have a mountain fall into a sea? I think it may be a volcano and it might destroy a village. That might be a time. But that mountain blow up and not come toward a village but fall into the sea? I think there are times. But the thing is, it rests upon, do we believe that this is the will of God? When we make that prayer, because we're talking about boldness. Asking God to move a mountain. And Jesus says, if you have the faith, it will happen. Now, I'm not saying go home tonight and pray that I don't know, Mount McKinley fall in the sea. I don't know where Mount McKinley is. Is that the one that's in Alaska? But I'm talking about faith. Do we believe that God hears and answers our prayers? If he is convinced, God, if we are convinced that that is the will of God, he will answer our prayers because he does not restrict our request. His teaching in other places indicate he will act only according to his will. I mean, Ruth might go out and pray for a $2 million car. And God, I'm just using you. And maybe God says, you know, Ruth will pick up children in that car. And he might grant it to her because he knows she'll go out and pick up children and bring them in because she loves children. I know Ruth loves children because if you didn't love children, you wouldn't still be teaching these kids. I'm not going to say how old you are. Somewhere around 36, I think. But he might grant it to Ruth. Can you imagine how impressed these parents would be if Ruth came and started picking up all these children and bringing them to church in her $2 million car? Is this such a thing as a $2 million car? I don't even know. I know some of those race cars are, but I can't imagine Ruth in a race car. Our faith in prayer does not rest in our ability to say the right words, nor in a lot of words. Confidence does not come from having assumed the right posture. You can pray on your knees, but you don't have to. You can pray sitting down, but you can stand up. You can pray with lifted hands, but you don't have to. You see, we can go to God in many different ways. You could be driving down the highway in your $2 million car and pray. And you know, I've done that before, not in the $2 million car. I never had one. But I can remember praying in my mom's blue Pinto. Well, the time I was praying was when I was driving from Memphis to Texas when I found out that she had cancer, only had 6 months to live. And I prayed. I wasn't paying much attention to the road. I was praying. And it's a good thing because I got the home safe. Our confidence comes from our faith in our Father's nature, not in our asking. This seems to be the teaching of Jesus in 11:5-10, Luke 11:5-10. He told a parable about a man who went to a friend at midnight. Remember that story? And he banged on the door asking for I think it was bread. Because he had guests that came and surprised him. And the neighbor said, "No, we're sleeping. It's not convenient. Go away." And the man pounded and pounded and pounded. And finally the man said, Okay. I'll give you your bread. Stop banging on my door." Jesus concluded, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Some people have understood this parable to teach that God will grant us anything if we're persistent and drive him crazy long enough. He'll give us what we're asking for. Is that what Jesus is teaching, though? This is not his teaching. Jesus is telling us that God, our Heavenly Father, is not like this person who gives in because of his friend's shameless asking. Our Father is not persuaded like this. Matthew 7:7-8 does not teach us to keep asking and seeking and knocking until we get what we want. Instead, it teaches us that as long as we can keep on asking and seeking according to God's will, He will give us what we need. And He will continue giving to us. Since we can ask for anything that is God's will, why is there no more boldness in our prayers? Where is the problem? Why do we not go boldly before God and seek the things we need to see that His will is fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven? He's talking about boldness. There can be no doubt that God desires, I don't know, you know how many billions of people are in the world? Jerry went out and counted them. 6.5 billion. I don't know. I know there's a bunch. And I think a bunch of them are in China. I was told that if all the Chinese started jumping up and down, it would shake the earth. I don't know if that's true or not. But there can be no doubt that God desires that 5 million or 6 million or 6.5 million people, billion people, would be able to hear the gospel. I have no doubt that God wants that. Our command is to go to every creature and preach the gospel to them. Do we pray with bold confidence for this gospel to be preached to these people? What about to those here in Plymouth and Apopka? Why is that? Do we lack faith? And I don't think it's so much a lack of faith in God, but a lack of faith in ourselves. As one person said, I don't need faith to move mountains. I can buy dynamite to do that. I need faith to move me. When we ask God to do anything, we must not expect Him to act contrary to His nature. I can't ask God to go out and make my neighbor sin so he'll go to hell. Because God doesn't tempt people to sin. His nature is what His nature is, and we can see that in the Bible, and He's going to follow His nature. So, we know there are certain things God won't do for us. So why ask Him to do those things? When we pray for God to let all people hear the gospel, what are we doing? We're committing ourselves to be open to do the task ourselves. I love the attitude of Isaiah. This is found in Isaiah chapter 6. God is saying, who am I going to send? Who will go and do this for me? And Isaiah doesn't look around to see if anybody's raising their hand. What did Isaiah do? Here am I, send me. Is that our attitude, JC? Or do we pray, Lord, send to Isaiah? Well, maybe that Isaiah is sitting right here. Lord, here am I, send me. You know, God is not going to do the things that we can do. But He is going to help us do the things that we cannot do. You think you can't speak to your neighbor? You're too shy. You fumble with words. Well, if you pray to God, help me speak to my neighbor. Believe that He will do it and go speak to the neighbor, and you'll be amazed at how good you are at doing the will of God. If you pray boldly for His help. And I'm thankful we have Aaron. Because Aaron speaks boldly to people. And he invites people. And he gives out tracts to people. You know, that's why we have them. We didn't buy them to fill up our tracts so the little things won't look empty. We bought those things that Christians will take and give them to their neighbors and friends. Colleagues at work. They're much better in someone's hand than in the rack. We often excuse our disobedience by saying we are not able to preach the gospel to every person. That's true. I cannot go to Ukraine and preach. I forget how many millions. I can't go and preach. But what can I do? I might could go and give Bibles out to 200 or 300 kids in a school. I might can train some Ukrainian Christians to do that. But I can do something with the power of God. The power of the Spirit who works within us. Because our success does not depend upon my ability or our ability. It depends upon our faith and what God can do through us. Our failure is not a lack of ability, but a lack of faith. And God. Note the promise Jesus gave in Mark 11:4. After we have asked of God, we are to do what? Believe that you have received. Such confidence is ours if we ask according to His will. The Father will answer our prayers and give us what we ask. But we need to be careful about what we're asking. If we say, Lord, lead me to some soul today, be aware He will do it. He will do it. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs prayers to increase their faith. Maybe there are those who are not yet members of the church who have not yet put on Christ in baptism. This will be the night to do it. Jesus is calling. Will you answer? Come as we stand and sing.
Be seated. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to partake of the Lord's Supper? If not, we'll have our closing prayer.